Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
It's time to get classy.
Let's get at it then.
Yeah. I have good news. Yeah. I got a really great email today.
You got an email, okay.
Yeah, I got it from Amazon. They're going to send out my Mick Foley DVD earlier than planned.
That's fantastic.
I'm so excited. It's like best news I had all day.
Like, we're going to have another watch party.
Oh, absolutely.
Like we did for
season one. Oh, absolutely. I'm so excited. Speaking of which, Mick Foley was on.
Mick Foley was on.
Other stuff happened, that's all I really cared about.
There was like one other thing not involving Mick Foley that was...
Yeah, I mean, no, there's other stuff worth talking about. And Mick Foley, honestly, I mean, he did good in the ring. And, like, you know, I'm probably unfairly giving too much credit to Mick Foley because I want to do that. But, like, he really brought something out of Ryback.
He did,
That is easily the best live work Ryback's ever done.
Yes. It was a little bit more effective watching it with sound.
Yeah.
The first time we watched it, we had to watch it with on closed captioning. So whenever Ryback, you know, was saying, "Shut up, Foley," when we were reading it, it read more like, "Shut up, Foley, God! Shut up! Why don't you shut up already? God, Foley!" Like, that's how it came across, because it kept saying, "Shut up, Foley."
I liked the closed captions. I gotta say, like, no, it totally undermined the how good this segment was. But, like,
well, you could see the intensity on Mick Foley's, and you saw the words, and you're like, okay, I get it. And then you got right back going, "Shut up!" Like, I immediately thought of the time he threw Santino at
I didn't touch you! I didn't touch you, stupid!
Literally what he said.
Mm-hmm.
And how he said it.
Yeah.
And he repeated it. That means it worse.
Oh, Ryback.
Yeah, and didn't you feel like the way that segment ended kind of ruined the build-up, like, before, like, the part where Cena came out, they did the whole bit with Shield. That was fine, I guess. It, you know, showed that Cena's not the big bad man like Ryback is now, and he helped him out like the good old boy, and then he proceeds to beat up Ryback with his AA.
Yeah.
So, I felt like that just kind of...
I don't know, it's... Like, this whole feud feels a little...
Forced?
Scrambly, like... You know, it's... It's clear that with CM Punk gone, there needs to be...
A big heel. Because there really isn't...
Easy contender.
There really isn't that.
And like, well, you know, why don't you build up one of your plenty of heels? But no, the easier thing to do is heel turn a top face or a higher up face.
Right.
I guess.
Sure. They're lighter.
Yeah. But the whole thing, it feels like CM Punk is out on injury, which he's not. It's like, you know, they knew this, you know, break was coming up. We knew this break was coming
up.
Right. So I feel like... You know, and part of it, I guess, is, you know, right after WrestleMania, and you still have to, you know, start pushing for Extreme Rules right away.
Yeah.
And there was a little bit of that with last year with Cena and Brock Lesnar, where it's like, let's ignore The Rock and that whole defeat, because we got to focus on Cena and Lesnar right now.
Right.
But, you know, at the same time, this whole thing, it just... It feels like I'm supposed to be more invested. And not in a way that, like, WWE wants me to be more invested than I am, because that happens all the time.
Right.
But, like, in a way, like, I feel like I should be more invested in this than I actually am. Like...
Yeah. Yeah, but it's just... I don't know. Not at all.
I can't quite put...
That, but again, it's Extreme Rules. They haven't set any stipulation or anything like that. So that tends to add a little bit of excitement.
Yeah.
Depending on what the stipulation
is.
Now, if it's something stupid or redundant or obvious that Cena's going to win or something like that, like, you know, an I Quit match or...
An I Quit match has just become Watch Cena Win.
The Last Man Standing. It's a guaranteed win for Cena because he will never give up.
Yeah. I think I Quit's a little bit worse because he's won every I Quit match.
I thought it was Last Man Standing.
Cena's never lost an I Quit match.
I thought he'd never lost an Last Man Standing.
I don't know.
Probably both.
But for a while there, he was like, he would have his like 1-2-3, and that third match would always be a I Quit match, like with Miz and with Batista before that. Like, and so I was like, oh, here's how you end this feud, blah de blah. But you know, we have two more pay per views in the pocket of suck to get to that point.
Hooray.
Yep. I would really like, and obviously, like, you know, everybody would really like this every month, but this, I'm playing my, I would really like this outcome card right now, here and now. Yeah. I would really like Ryback to win cleanly.
At Extreme Rules.
At Extreme Rules.
Okay.
Like, I know everybody, you know, you play the, oh, Cena should lose cleanly. That would make, right. Like, but, you know, that's also kind of like the Cena turning heel thing, where, like, you know, everybody's, oh, that should happen. And right. You can only, every situation is a great time for that to happen. Every situation is a great time for Cena to lose cleanly. Right. But this is the one where, like, I'm ready to play that card. I think it would really...
You think it's just good time as any?
I think it would be actually a really good time. I think it would really... And it would help this feud. It would help the fight for the title. I think you give Cena a genuine, I did not fight through the Rock to be beaten by the likes of you, like, yeah. Rematch reasoning.
And plus it builds up a heel in the absence of CM Punk.
Right, who I'm assuming we're not going to have till at least SummerSlam.
Yeah, and I did see something on the dirt sheets today about he's scheduled to appear sometime in May, but not wrestle, and he's scheduled to appear at, like, all these different pay-per-views between now and SummerSlam. I'm not buying it.
Yeah.
That's just people looking at, you know, the advertised cards, and those are worthless.
I mean, those are advertised with whoever is popular right now.
That's when you know that there's nothing else to talk about on that day. They start rolling out. It's like, oh, well, so-and-so is scheduled to appear on this day.
Yep.
They probably just haven't updated.
Card is always
subject to change. It's non-news. I get annoyed by stuff like that.
Yep.
That's
So, that would be for me the way to do anything with this feud.
Right.
I mean, because this is your... Photocopying last year's Extreme Rules. It's Cena versus the Unbeatable Monster.
Right.
Which, you know, again, that was my favorite match last year. I thought it totally worked.
Yeah.
But I don't think it would totally work this time back. I think Brock Lesnar's a very unique situation.
Yeah.
I think his coming back was a unique that's obviously not being mirrored here.
No.
And I think the, you know, to... Booker T, this isn't a match, this is a fight situation that the last year's Extreme Rules felt would not work at all this time around.
Yeah.
So, this is my out to fix it.
To have Cena put Ryback over
cleanly. Fully cleanly.
Okay.
No Shield interference, no nothing. Just Ryback beats him.
Fair enough. I mean, I would love to see it, I'm just being...
Oh, it's not
carefully
gonna
optimistic.
Oh, it's not going to happen.
No.
It's not going to happen at all. No. I don't think I'm mistaken that. But no, that's... This is like my one time I'm playing that card. Cena should lose cleanly.
Okay. Fair enough. So. I literally have nothing to add.
Fair enough.
Hooray!
Moving on. We need to take a moment, and we need to comprehend the fact that this Monday... On free Raw television.
Yeah.
We got to watch The Undertaker for a few minutes go one-on-one with Dean Ambrose in the ring.
Yeah.
In a genuine match.
Oh, yeah. Like, there's a lot of elements to really kind of, like, pick apart and really nerd out for a second, you know. First of all, the fact that he's even on wrestling on free television. Something we haven't seen in, well... And I know it was 3 years for Raw. It's probably not as long for SmackDown.
He feuded with Kane? Did he ever?
Yeah.
Did they ever have a match?
I mean,
they brawl a little bit.
The Undertaker did have that match against Rey Mysterio.
Yeah. That was 4 months after the second Shawn Michaels victory.
So, I don't know. It's right around there. I don't feel like doing math right now.
Yeah.
So.
I mean,
It's plenty of maths, but... It's been a while, so there's that we can, you know, completely geek out over. The fact that he was, you know, for a few seconds, you know, going against Dean Ambrose.
Yeah.
And they lost, so that kind of, like, sets up that there might be more to this.
Yeah.
I'm just surprised that this happened at all on Raw.
Oh, absolutely.
I figured this was coming, But I fully expected this to happen at Extreme Rules or something along those lines.
And I was totally okay with that. Like,
yeah,
just the announcement, this is a match.
The fact that we had Undertaker, like, I felt like if we had anything beyond Undertaker at WrestleMania, like, if we saw any more than that, then we would be completely spoiled.
Yeah.
You know? The fact that we see him if on a Raw, on one Raw after WrestleMania, we're spoiled.
Yeah.
We've seen him on two Raws after WrestleMania. Probably going to see him at Extreme Rules. Maybe even more after that. We don't know.
He is... spoiler for SmackDown, if you really care. He is scheduled to be on SmackDown.
Oh.
So, that...
Probably,
know,
like, addressing the whole Shield thing.
Yeah, probably so. But, you know... But, you know, SmackDown, that was his home show.
Yeah.
Like, that's...
That was his home show. A lot of people are saying, you know, a lot of the reason why Undertaker was so willing to do this, a lot of it was because his son apparently lives in London, or in
yeah.
the UK. Yeah, looked him up on Google Images, and dear Lord, he has a nerdy-looking son.
He does.
Almost as nerdy as he looked when he was in high school.
Yep, he does. His son has not done the push-ups that Undertaker's done.
No, he has not done the push-ups.
I mean, I haven't either,
you know,
so.
You know, and it... The fact that him and his son are both gingers kind of reinforces that he is the Undertaker, the dead man, the soulless one. Spawning other soulless ones.
Haha, you're funny. Boo!
What?
Remember the close catches, like, boo! That was my favorite part of watching Raw in closed caption.
Crowd. Boo.
Just B-O-O exclamation mark. That's a pretty good crowd.
And then Jerry Lawler. Yeah! That happened a few times.
Yeah. Jerry Lawler is amazing on closed caption. I take it all back.
No, he's not. I tried to ignore it.
It's so
that
bad.
That was the moment I decided to look down and check Twitter.
It's amazing train wreck to watch Jerry Lawler, to actually read Jerry Lawler comments. Oh, it's so bad. It's awful. I love it. It is the 3MB of closed caption reading.
You have to be the only person that actually digs 3MB.
I don't...
And the simple fact that you love to watch this train wreck.
The
rest of us hate to watch it.
I genuinely don't understand your hatred for 3MB.
It's a waste of time.
It
leads to nothing. They have no storyline. They have no connection with anything.
No, it is.
They just come out and just prance around, hip thrust.
That's because it is a heel version of Santino. Like, you don't mind Santino, do you?
Yes.
Do you not like any of the comedy parts in the whole show? Do you not
anything not Team Friendship, I did not enjoy.
Do you not remember Santino having a tea time with Sheamus?
Oh, you're forgetting another crucial element in that situation. That is Vladimir Kozlov.
Vladimir Kozlov?
The minute Vladimir Kozlov was fired, Santino lost a lot of comedic points for me.
I really agree. Because
they are an awesome duo, and they are the polar opposites, but fantastic. And that tea party, I believe, is the only time we've ever seen Vladimir Kozlov smile. Because he was so, so proud of himself for the zinger that he threw at Sheamus.
I will agree.
He still looks like the eagle puppet from the Muppets.
What's
Sam?
His name? Yeah.
Sam the Eagle? Okay. I didn't want to just come out and say Sam the Eagle because I was afraid I was going to be wrong.
Yeah. But it's a funny thing. I don't care.
Everything has its
place, its moment.
I was going to say it's ebb and flow, really, because something's funny for a little while, and then it's like, okay, let's move on to something else. Oh, you're still doing this. Now it's not really all that funny anymore. And then every now and then they'll throw out a one-liner and like, okay, that was funny. They're funny now. You know, 3B, I've never felt that way about them at all.
I will say that
I've never been entertained by anything they've done.
It has definitely hit a kind of like stale.
Oh, when did they hit that moment for you?
Oh, a couple weeks ago.
Oh, wait, really? Because they hit that with me. Oh,
when
they formed this unholy trinity.
The fact that didn't you like Heath Slater on his own getting beat up by the legends?
I like that we got to see the legends.
Like, yeah, when Heath Slater kind of like, yeah,
but then he was just serving as, you know, the broom.
Okay, I'm going with the shovel, but fair enough.
Oh, he's being used to dig the hole that he will be buried in?
Exactly. For the marrying time.
Yeah, I'll stick with broom.
All right, stick with broom, whatever. Let's see if I care. I don't care. What'd you have for lunch today?
Leftover breadsticks.
Oh, bummer.
You know, I had to eat at some point. What'd you have for lunch?
I haven't had lunch yet. I haven't eaten yet today.
How long have you been awake?
Since 9.
P.M.?
No. No, it's been 13
hours. I was going to say, you've been awake for an hour and a half. It's impressive. I thought you had to work.
Don't eat at work.
You haven't eaten anything since 9 this morning.
Ice.
How are you alive right now?
I don't know. I'm not hungry. I'm high on the magic of wrestling. And 3MB.
This, ladies and gentlemen, is why this fool is so skinny.
Yeah, sometimes. I'll eat after the podcast.
Seven potatoes! You know it's been a slow week. We're talking about our dietary
preferences.
Yes.
Wait. I need to marvel that we got to this without taking the feed me more round. There's this wide open, easy tangent to wrestling.
That would be too easy, and we owe our audiences more than that.
To go from wrestling to food to this obvious feed me more. Easy bullseye.
Too easy of a bullseye. No. We went the correct route because this is the correct mantra to put in your head through these times is what would Blair do? He would not make the easy references.
Fair enough. Shout out. So, back to Mr. Taker.
Okay.
The really exciting thing about this for me. Is that I started rewatching full time, you know, on a weekly basis around this moment right before WrestleMania 26.
Okay.
And at the time, Undertaker was pretty much full, you know, appearing weekly on the shows. Triple H was appearing weekly on the shows.
Yeah.
They were both fully ingrained in stories, you know, appearing consistently.
Mm-hmm.
These were also two of the remaining guys that I knew from when, you know, when I watched originally, when I heard about it on the playground.
Right.
They were, I won't say they were the only ones, but they were just about the only ones left active in WWE that people wanted to be when we played wrestling on the playground.
Okay, I'm assuming this was pre-Kane.
I don't remember anybody wanting to be Kane.
Well, fair enough.
Like, Kane was...
I always wanted to be Kane whenever we played video games, because he always killed
everyone. He got maxed out on those video games, especially in the early days.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So he's kind of tapered off on the video games, but yeah, he got maxed out. But so, I was, you know, these were two names that I was attached to, and they both pretty much disappear right after WrestleMania 26.
Yeah.
Because the chaperone had to happen. And, you know, except for their, you know, the part-time appearances pretty much at WrestleMania, they both kind of stayed, you know, away.
Yeah.
And I assumed I was going to get to see them wrestle once to twice a year each.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, they are both in feuds in what we would normally consider the pocket of suck.
Yes.
So, even though, you know, Triple H gets a lot of well-deserved hatred and et cetera, et cetera. There's a little bit inside of it that's like, this is what I came back for!
Right, yeah.
To watch these two guys fight! And
yes, but for the people who've been fans this entire time, they've seen a lot of... Especially Triple H.
Oh, especially Triple H. No, I missed that, like, 3-year rotation of Triple H, Randy Orton, John Cena.
Yeah.
Like, I totally missed that. And...
You lucky prick.
No, yeah, I'm not... I am not complaining. I think I came back at, you know, right at the end of that. I was okay with that. But yeah, there's a little bit of like, I mean, part of it is dampened by like Triple H has really disappointed me this past year with the Brock Lesnar things.
Yeah.
God, I would watch Lesnar fight anybody else right now.
Yeah, because this has gone on since before Money in the Bank.
Yeah, because they announced it. God, that really irked me. I don't even...
They announced it like 2 months. They announced it at another pay-per-view.
No, they announced it... Well, the last thing is like, they announced that it would be at SummerSlam, but before Money in the Bank, which, you know, basically indicated Money in the Bank was not a big enough pay-per-view
right.
to hold a match of this magnitude.
Which is something, which, like, we know, they know. We don't necessarily need everyone else to... we don't need to acknowledge it.
Yeah, no, that's... Because yeah.
then that... What does that say about your product?
It undercuts the value of Money in the Bank.
Right.
Now, if... You know, I would be totally fine if you want to highlight these shows, these other pay-per-views, as, you know, this pay-per-view is here for this purpose, to highlight, to build new stars, to give mid-card stars an opportunity to make it to the big time.
Right.
But you don't. You know... Each pay-per-view is the biggest thing ever until it's over, and then the next pay-per-view is the biggest thing ever. That's how your advertising works. That's how the build-up happens on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Which is simpler. I get it. You know, it's a much more complicated, convoluted kind of thing to try and have each pay-per-view have its own special place and build up for that. But because of the way you build up pay-per-views, it undercuts one to... skip it like that. Which is okay when it's WrestleMania.
Right.
I did not have a problem with that. I did have a problem with The Rock announcing he would be wrestling the champion at Royal Rumble.
You know, set on
Raw 1000. Yeah. I have a problem with it undercutting. Nothing between, you know, now and Royal Rumble is big enough for me. Especially when Survivor Series was in between there.
Yeah. And Survivor Series, I remember it was another one of those pay-per-views that it was okay. Those matches that was really good in spite of the card we were given.
Yeah.
Because I remember we still really did enjoy the, that traditional Survivor Series match that Ziggler ended up winning.
Yeah, no, it was a good show, but it wasn't a well-built show.
Right.
And that's kind of the thing. You know, you have your big four, and things like WrestleMania is a big deal because we say that WrestleMania, we've all, you know, as a community agreed that WrestleMania is a big deal.
Yes.
But kind of, you know, Survivor Series and SummerSlam specifically have that same thing. They're only a big deal because we agree that they're a big deal. Like
right.
Royal Rumble is a big deal because it has this match that happens once a year. It has these stipulations. We only get
and
to see
and everyone
this.
Loves the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
You know.
But, you know, that's the big draw there. The Money in the Bank has this big draw. Hell in a Cell has it, even though I have complained many times about Hell in a Cell, it has this, you know, the draw of it is that the main matches will be in
yeah.
this cell. SummerSlam does not have that big draw. Survivor Series does not have that big draw. The only draw is that we all agree that these are big deal. You know,
mm-hmm.
kind of
and,
things.
With Survivor Series, that's supposed to be the big, like, it's, you know, the WrestleMania of the fall. Like, it's
yeah.
supposed to have this big finality to it, to all these big storylines, or something along those lines, and we really haven't gotten that. And, you know, they'll just slap together a Survivor Series match, you know.
Yeah, and
out
it's,
of nowhere.
It's in this existing on name situation.
Yeah.
And it's not so much working for me.
Anymore. Not recently, no.
The past.
I mean, I know they made it a big deal 2 years ago. That was when The Rock was coming
Rock
back.
Rock and Cena teamed up.
The tag team thing.
Yeah. That,
and you had the,
That, okay. That
and,
was,
you know, they tried to make it a big deal because that was when, Punk won the championship and held it for so long.
Yeah.
So that was like the big beginning for him.
Was that would have been, that's his year mark.
Yeah.
But like, I mean, but even, you know, you take that Cena and Rock thing, there was a lot of, you know, behind the scenes switcheroos where clearly they were supposed to be on the same Survivor Series tag match.
Right.
Clearly Awesome Truth was not the intended thing as badly. Oh, that may be the worst build-up to a match I've ever seen.
And to have it, you know, it finished last just because of Rock and Cena being there.
Yeah.
Truth and Miz were just there.
Yeah.
Like, we knew how, everyone knew how that was going to end. There was no doubt in everyone's mind.
3 weeks in a row before that, John Cena beat them both up by himself.
Absolutely. He didn't even need Rock to come in.
And then acted like he needed Rock. That just gets me. Like, yeah. Because
at that point, the whole thing with Miz and Truth had already died down.
Yeah.
You know? They had the whole thing where they kept, you know, they kept attacking Triple H. Then he tagged up with CM Punk the pay-per-view before that, I believe.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's what's... Then, you know, it got uprooted by Kevin Nash. CM Punk went to the...
somebody tweeted this week when Paul Heyman was reading the email, and then Triple H came out. It says, oh, Triple H came out. I guess Kevin Nash tweeted that. He sent that email. So...
Nice. I sent the email.
Nice callback to worst story I've ever seen.
Oh, God. No, see, the thing is, I whenever I've had spare moments, you know, in lieu of actually doing things productive. That was a backward sentence. In lieu of actually doing productive things, I've gone back and I've just watched, like, the CM Punk moments since, you know, the summer of 2011. And I got to the whole Kevin Nash stuff, and it's just like, it's just as painful now. I got up to, I got up to Vengeance, which was, I believe, that was the last time CM Punk was involved in the whole Triple H Kevin Nash thing. Because that was when the two of them teamed up against Truth and Miz, and God, it's painful. It's just painful.
I know.
It made me. I've taken a break because I haven't not gone back and continued that watching since probably about this time last week.
Yeah, you're almost to that TLC match.
No, I'm skipping.
No.
I'm
CM Punk's TLC.
No. Wait, when was
Hammer on a Ladder?
Yeah.
Whatever that match was called?
That TLC?
That was the same thing. That was the same match.
Okay.
That was the same pay-per-view.
Okay, I thought you were talking about that one. It's like, I'm just sticking to CM Punk stuff.
No, no, but that pay-per-view is the one where CM Punk won the Triple Threat TLC match, and Ricardo dropped.
Oh, yeah, I'm absolutely watching that.
Of course, that's an amazing match.
It's a really good match. The only exception I made where I watched, you know, non-CM Punk stuff was Vengeance, because I really did dig the Last Man Standing match between Del Rio and Cena on the Busted. And you know what? I just answered my question from earlier because Del Rio won that match, the Last Man Standing.
Yeah.
So he's not on the feed as
Last Man Standing. Ah, yeah, there you go.
I'm my own fact checker.
As long as these podcasts are long enough.
I will get to my right
answer. We'll just talk about our dinner until stuff comes up correctly.
I had a Hot Pocket.
You know, I got Hot Pockets a few weeks ago, and I was like, yeah, Hot Pockets, I'm an adult, here we go. nobody can keep me from buying these Hot Pockets.
Okay.
I bought like the 12-pack family size of Hot Pockets.
That's what I do, yes.
And I have one, and I was like, this isn't very good.
What? It was the pepperoni, right?
No, not pepperoni. I never liked
pepperoni. That's why. Pepperoni's awesome.
No.
Pepperoni's the best. Let me guess, you got ham and cheese.
Ham and cheese! Yeah. Well, the ham and cheese one was good. It was like the crusty bread around it that was... It's like, oh, this is chewy.
The delivery mechanism?
Pretty much.
Ham and cheese is fine. It's just... Pepperoni's pizza is much better.
No, I never dug those. I should have gone with the breakfast one. That one might have been better.
I've only tried them once. So. I don't think I cooked them right. I don't think I cooked them long
enough. Did you use a skillet?
Well, yeah. That's how you cook breakfast food, Joel.
Lana!
Oh, God, we should talk about wrestling.
Nah, they're fine. They're enjoying our references.
Oh, okay. I've been watching a lot of Parks and Rec, and I have such a... I really want bacon.
Yeah. Yeah, fair enough. Okay, next up on the agenda.
Okay.
We need to talk about Zigglypuff. We need to talk about that he's called Zigglypuff now. I like it.
Didn't Lawler, like, try to say that? He just screwed it all up? Like, Zigglepuff or something like that?
Lawler makes me sad.
He does. So.
Oh, best part of the announce table this week? Michael Cole dancing to Fandango?
I might have skipped over that once I watched it with sound.
Oh, it was amazing.
I don't remember that part. He was just doing the finger
thing. He was so excited. Yeah, I mean, JBL was, you know, doing
his video. Oh, speaking of, we had a special return this Monday night. I don't know if you caught it. R-Truth came out to rap again.
Yeah. He's
full circle back to where he was
before. I did catch it because I could use the closed captioning to read the stupid lyrics to that song.
You used to have that thing memorized, didn't you?
No. No.
I thought you sung along.
No.
I vaguely remember someone singing along with that.
No.
It might have been myself.
To What's Up?
Well, I mean, you know, like, you didn't want to, but you heard it so many times, you're just like, what's up?
Oh, I know what's up, and you can get with this, and you can get with that, you better get with this, because this is where it's at.
What's up?
Yeah.
But didn't you like the other version?
Get Grunk?
Yes.
No!
You liked it so much, you remember the title of it, because I sure didn't. I just knew he had a different one that he tried for like 2 weeks and it just completely flopped.
I just remember.
Worse than What's Up.
I just remember What's Up was gone. I didn't like What's Up. It's ridiculous.
At least he doesn't come from the crowd anymore like he originally did. Whenever he came back as R-Truth.
Well, that's a bad guy thing now.
Oh, yes.
He can't accidentally be the fourth member of the Shield.
Although, so. WWE.com did speculate that, is there another fourth member? And I really don't want them to. I don't want them to touch Shield.
Yeah,
I know Creative has their hands all over Shield, and they're doing a great job so far. But I don't want this. Like, yeah. I don't want them to mess tinker with it.
Yeah, here's my question of the day. This week was Shield has to lose at some point.
Yes, we know it's going to happen.
How would you be fine with Shield losing?
I have a feeling it's going to be a while, to be honest with you.
Do you think they'll win at Extreme Rules against the Brothers of Team Friendship?
Oh, dear Lord, that's a great name for them.
I know, right?
Let me shake your hand for that. Good job.
Huzzah, sir. Not the end, huzzah. We're still going.
No. Well, all right. Good to see you, Joel. See you next week. I know you threw that in just so I wouldn't get up and leave. Because everyone's saying that Shield is definitely going to win the Tag Team Championship. They're going to defend it Freebird style. They can pick any two that they want. Or defend it between all three of them. I don't know. Whatever. I'm okay with that. They're going to have a sizable title reign by that aspect. And I'm thinking that would lead to Team Friendship ultimately breaking up. Okay. I know how bum that makes you.
Yeah.
But it will lead to the inevitable, you know, former tag team member match. And we've seen what Daniel Bryan and Kane can do against each other. And that they have really great matches because they have really great chemistry, which we've seen.
Yeah.
So I'm excited for that part. The only problem you run into is how do you build another tag team that can take the belt off Shield?
The WWE does not know.
Exactly.
If there's one thing I'm saying, they do not know how to build a tag team.
Unless what they do is maybe Undertaker leaves for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
They have the whole issue with Kane and Daniel Bryan. He comes back with Kane, and either the two of them finally beat them.
Well, then you need
two on three or whatever.
You need to explain.
Or they go around and, you know, find somebody to join in their merry quest.
Mm. Well, in that case, you need to explain why Taker and Kane can beat them without Daniel Bryan's help when they couldn't beat them when they also still had Daniel Bryan's help.
Oh, God. No, in WWE, they just get someone bigger.
But no,
it's good enough for
them. I'm saying if you're doing a two on three match. I mean, the way to do it, I'll answer your question.
Well, unless what they did is they do a two-on-two.
Yeah.
You know, the other guys.
I mean,
causing manager-type issues.
Yeah, the answer to your question is that the Shield always pins Daniel Bryan, which they, you know, they did so far.
They did,
then you can easily, I mean, it would kill Daniel Bryan. I'm not saying this is a good idea.
Unless he just takes off and goes back to the championship picture after they break up.
No, yeah, that would be fine. But I'm saying, if you were to logistically say that Brothers of Destruction without Daniel Bryan can beat all three members of the Shield, but yeah. Brothers of Destruction with Daniel Bryan cannot do it, you are very specifically saying that Daniel Bryan is a detriment to wrestling. Which, you no, don't do that.
Yeah.
I'm saying you can do, you know, there's an easy thing to do there, but don't stop it. No.
Right. I understand. I just don't think that... Because I have a feeling the only people that they will allow to beat Shield right now would be some sort of team with Undertaker.
Yeah.
You know? I just don't...
So do you think Undertaker and friends will win at Extreme Rules?
No. I don't think Shield's gonna lose just yet.
Okay.
I really don't think.
I mean, Shield is... And it's a key thing for me that they are remaining undefeated.
Mm-hmm.
And that they've remained undefeated this long, especially against this many big names.
Oh, yeah.
Like, a lot of undefeated streaks are long, but again, like, Ryback's undefeated streak was long, but it was against nobodies.
Yeah.
Same thing with, you know, like, when Brodus Clay came out. Like,
yes.
It was long, but it was against a bunch of nobodies.
Right.
And then, but, like, they squandered his, against, I guess, I think Mark Henry.
Who?
Brodus Clay.
No, it was, Big Show.
Big Show?
Big Show, like, quickly.
Yeah. No, like, I remember really, really sour taste in my mouth that, because he had, like, a 4-month undefeated streak.
Yeah.
That was, like, ended in a 3-minute match on Raw.
Pretty much.
So, wasted.
Absolutely wasted.
So.
I don't see Shield losing just yet.
Okay. But when they do lose, you think
it would have to be against somebody big.
Triple H?
Son of a... Yeah.
Yep.
Triple H, Undertaker, and Kane?
Yep. Not probably just Triple H. He needs the push, Chris.
He needs it desperately.
Yeah, no, that's my concern, is it'll happen against Triple H.
Fine.
There are ways you could go with it. I am not automatically opposed to a fourth member. The way that if you insist on Triple H, and this isn't my idea, this is the internet's idea somewhere, but the way that you absolutely, if you insist on Triple H being the person to defeat Shield, you do it by bringing back Batista and teaming up with Randy Orton, stick Ric Flair in their corner in manager-style position,
okay.
And you're like, Evolution is back, and Evolution beats the Shield.
Hi.
Would you not mark out for that a little bit?
A little bit, yeah. I think what we need is... a character change for Undertaker. He just comes out in his Walter White hat, and he's just like, let's just chill, guys. Because that's the kind of look I always see anytime I see him in his Walter White hat.
You don't want Biker Taker to come back?
Oh, God, no. I would rather have Walter White Taker.
In defense of Biker Taker, I think he really, like, that some of his best mic work was in
Well, absolutely, and that's really the only real... time he had the opportunity for mic work.
Yeah. But I think the mic work...
It was a good rest for him.
Even in this... Because he still, you know, mics a bit in the dead man persona now.
Right.
But his dead man mic work is so much better now than it was
before
Biker Taker.
Oh, yeah. It was a good exercise for him.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
I mean, it was still the Undertaker on a bike.
Yeah.
Like, that's the
trick. You're still coming out the Limp Bizkit.
Yeah.
Roll it. No, that's all I know.
Thank you, Chris.
The rolling part.
Thank you. That's
terrible. Anytime. So, what'd you have for breakfast?
I haven't eaten.
I didn't have breakfast. I woke up too late.
All we're talking about. But that's the Undertaker. Yeah, that's the thing is, like, Undertaker just overshadowed so much of Raw this late.
Yeah, yeah, that was really the big. And we knew, like, you know, it was a live to tape. Show, so we weren't expecting nothing big.
Yeah, they never do super things. Oh,
We did get William Regal. We did not get any Wade Barrett, which I felt was surprising.
I was really surprised by that.
But yet we got two different Tons of Funk and Rhodes Scholar matches.
We did.
Why did we need that?
Why couldn't
we put one of those matches on SmackDown?
Tons of Funk is like 3MB, that I'm not wanting them to be any higher on the calling card.
I really don't want them on the calling card, to be honest with you. I'm just... I liked Brutus Clay for a while. I'm just... I'm done with that. That Tensai is not being that horrible, serious heel anymore. But now it's just, okay, you've done this. What now?
See, I liked Tensai with Santino. I was
more in favor of that.
Ready for him to exactly be the Kozlov replacement for that. Exactly. But the thing is, with Wade Barrett not being on there, like, I'm ready to be back in Wade Barrett's corner.
Yeah, me too.
Largely because of the Bang Bang from New Jersey. And I'm like,
I did like that.
That's all I need.
That was good. Bang Bang in the elbow.
Yep. I was like, all right, I'm ready for Wade Barrett to be awesome again. God, I remember liking Wade Barrett once upon a time. Let's go. Let's do it again.
Yeah. Maybe he's just in seclusion over just, I don't know why. Like, I guess getting kicked in the balls.
It hurt that bad.
And he lost on Raw, you know?
I don't know. I get, like, the only thing I can think of is, like, the only thing that would make it okay is that they are, like, gearing up for such a hardcore, unquestionable heel push that they can't risk a cheer.
Yeah.
But I doubt it. I doubt it.
Yeah, I doubt it as well. Anything else, or should we go on to our newest segment?
Fine.
Let's go on to our newest segment that Joel loves so much.
It's a fine segment. It's just a bad segment.
Mail sack! Mail sack! Why is there hair in this mail sack? Mail sack! Mail sack! Let's all go inside.
No.
Our first bit of business comes from Neil. Who was watching Raw with us, mm-hmm. without sound, and he asked, is the advantage of not having to hear Jerry perv hard outweighed by the disadvantage of not hearing Mick Foley? Like, there's, like, because you talked about how you preferred, reading Lawler.
Jerry, yeah.
But did that pay off, or was that outshadowed by the fact that we couldn't hear Mick Foley?
The manner in which we watched, okay, and obviously I'm biased because I got to watch Raw live for the first time in a long time.
Fair enough.
But very genuinely, the manner in which we watched Raw this week, which was, live in a cafe, I enjoyed that a lot more. There were other people who had, were there to watch Raw.
Yeah.
We watched it. It was not like an event situation, so there were a lot of people there who were not there to watch Raw,
right.
hence the silent with subtitles. Very, very little of Raw needs any kind of noise. Matches are... I thought that this, take the Shield versus the Brothers of Friendship match, like, I thought it was a fantastic match.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that I wasn't hearing any of it did not take away from it for me.
Right. And same, and by and large, same thing with Ziggler and Jericho.
Yeah.
Another really, really good match, but that we've seen plenty of times, and I'm completely okay seeing it more.
Forever.
Oh, God. So, yeah, it didn't take too much away. I'm just a spoiled brat, I guess. Like, I like hearing things. I'm a very,
I mean, there are things like, watching that New Jersey episode on silent would have killed it.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
I'm totally...
And the crowd was fine. I guess a lot of people had higher hopes that, it was a European crowd, so maybe we would have the New Jersey thing again. But I'm like, it's lightning in a bottle. Like, come on, dude. Like,
yeah.
You're not really going to get that every time you go overseas.
Yeah.
The crowd was lively.
It was, but...
They had some moments where, like, okay, I kind of wish they had a bigger response for this, but...
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
I mean, and the thing is, like, on the flip side, it's not like I can't find Raw with sound after it's been on.
Right.
So, I got to hear Mick Foley, and, thought it was wonderful.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. It's a thing for me where it's like 9 times out of 10, it's fine to better without sound. And then that 10th time is like the punk shoot promo.
Right.
And just, is it, is it worth that kind of missing that for the added community and stuff? And, you know, this is the first time we've done it like that. We might do it again, might not, you know. Yeah. But, like, imagine a more idealized version of that kind of situation.
Mm-hmm.
Where, and it's kind of a halfway point between, you know, watching it alone at home and going to it live.
Mm.
So, yeah, I think it's a your mileage may vary kind of situation.
Oh, but yeah, you know, it depends on the episode. I mean, this episode was fine because it was a, you know, we knew we were going to watch it on silent, so it was live to tape episodes. We knew nothing too big was going to happen.
Yeah, it was a match heavy episode.
Match heavy episode, so it worked fine for this. You know, it not every episode's going to be like that, and you know, I fully understand that. So there's that.
Yeah.
Moving right along, we got this from on Twitter from @martyrshow, and I'm going to be paraphrasing because, one, this is a PG show, and two, just, you know, a little bit of context. He references the ending where Cena helps Ryback clear out the shield. He felt like that really undercut the shield, and in turn also undercut
Brothers of Friendship,
yeah. Seeing as how they were just beaten by the Shield, and he felt like it also kind of, you know, screwed over Foley a little bit.
I did really, really disagree with, like, that this might be the biggest mistake of my career,
right?
Like, because Foley's
fine. Like, I'm not. I can't really. It doesn't really undercut anything for Foley. He's fine, you know, he's admittedly, you know, out of shape and older and everything hurts.
Yeah.
So, you know, him ducking out, because, like, okay, Mick Foley knew the script. He knew what was going to happen next, so he knew he had to get out of the ring.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, very, very much.
And it wasn't his moment. Like, as soon as Cena and Ryback are in the ring,
yeah,
then that means it was about them now.
Well,
same thing whenever, what was it? Punk had Heyman out there, then Undertaker came out, and then Heyman left. So it was just about Punk and Undertaker. So those spotlight was on the people that it needed to be. It's along the same lines, and people praised Heyman for that. They thought it was a really good move. I felt like it was along the same lines with Cena and Ryback. Foley didn't back down at all.
Yeah.
Got right up in Ryback's face, and then Cena came out, and he just left it at that.
There's two ways to look at the Foley thing. One is, you know, that it's disrespectful to Foley to have him leave the ring and not stay there and fight the villain. I don't have a problem with that, because Foley has always very much been, you know, up front, both, like, in character and behind the scenes of, like, a, you know, yeah, I'm old, and, you know, I can't do what I once did. And, you know, that's fine, and your other option is 72-year-old Ric Flair acting like he's still the most dominant force in the ring.
Right.
And having to pretend that that's true, you know? Having to pretend that, you know, these young, fit, 28-year-old guys should actually cower in front of Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
You know? So, you know, on that scale, while, you know, part of me wants to, I wish I could have been there at the height of Hulkamania, just because it's such a big, significant thing. I can't, you know, I wasn't there. I can watch the tapes, kind of thing, and understand, even though I can't feel it, I can understand what it is. I would not rather try and recapture, you know, that kind of thing. So I like Foley being very open about, like, you know, he is a broken person because of, you know, and thankful for that. The other thing that I do have a little more problem with is when he was talking with Cena ahead of time, and he was like, going out and facing Ryback might be the biggest mistake of my career. And, like, I understand, I'm not terribly upset, because I understand that whatever they're facing right now has to be the biggest threat of all time.
Yeah.
But, like, Foley agreed to get thrown off that cell.
True.
That was the biggest mistake of his career.
Yeah.
And even if you want to, you know, really, really stick into kayfabe and be like, oh, he didn't agree to get thrown off, he got thrown off, you know, unwillingly.
Fine.
He walked back. Like, in kayfabe, he stood up and walked back and climbed back up. Then that's the biggest mistake of his career.
Right.
Totally in
kayfabe. Getting back up and going back up in the cell. Now, what do you say to the point he made about undercutting, that undercut Shield and in turn undercut Brothers of Friendship?
I do think there's a point that...
Because right now, the Shield's involvement with Spryback and Cena is just as, like, as background, really.
Mm-hmm.
They really don't have any reason to be coming and attacking Ryback under the simple thing that, you know, oh, we've always attacked Ryback because it's what we do.
Yeah. I do think, you know, there's a little bit of paper, rock, scissors kind of thing. This guy can be that guy, who can be that guy, who can be that guy.
Right.
With wrestling. And part of successfully running an entire company like WWE is to continually have that, and to, you know, when you have people go up against each other, one needs to win sometimes, one needs to win the other time,
mm-hmm.
so that whenever they go up, it could go either way.
Right.
And so, you know, but with that, it's not like, you know, the Shield, we have to keep a list of everybody that the Shield has ever beaten.
Yeah.
And be like, oh, if Cena can beat the Shield, then he could have beat da-da-da-da-da-da. But they just fought Brothers of Friendship.
Yeah.
On that same episode. They're knees deep in a feud with Brothers of Friendship.
I think they would be tired.
Yes.
Like, okay, alright, well, they're not really creating any injustice right now. They're just having a talking promo. Whatever.
Yeah.
You would think. But they did come all that way in a helicopter.
Yeah. And then got to a Jeep.
Apparently that was a legitimate, like, they actually had to do that because they were coming from the live SmackDown show.
Yeah.
And apparently also Fandango and the...
Da da.
His...
Da 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 da
it's
da.
Not the theme song.
Da 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 da.
That's I Dream of
Genie. Da 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 da.
That's I Dream of Genie.
Oh, I know.
But yeah, apparently also in the helicopter was Fandango and the girl, apparently it's Summer Rae. The internet went completely insane over it. Like, I've seen the name plenty of times, don't, you know, oh, Chris doesn't know anything about the independent stuff and, you know, and the internet, blah, blah, blah.
Chris Jericho got to, well, he
got to dip.
Yep. And Nagel looks so upset.
He did. He only wanted to dip her. She's been double dipped.
I hope Fandango's not ruined.
I really hope they don't just try to, like, just drive this whole Fandango-y thing into the ground. Like, I hope they actually try to develop him as a character and as a in-ring wrestler. Like, I'm hoping that.
Well, the dancing thing is such a one-note thing that I'm like, that cannot sustain you.
It was good for now.
Cena had the rapper thing, the Thuganomics thing.
Right. That
so,
worked for a while.
Like, if Fandango the dancer can get shaved away like that, bringing in
absolutely
Johnny Curtis, the you know, top tier guy.
Mm.
I'm totally fine with that. He
just likes coming to the ring with ballroom dance music.
Yeah. Yep.
They're never going to change his theme song.
That one or the da-da one?
No, I was talking about Fandango.
Cena's music doesn't make sense either now.
No.
He'd be coming to God Bless America if he could.
Or Hulk Hogan's theme music?
Yeah. Pretty much. Just get a little more hulky.
John Cena just comes out to the ring with like, the sound of 50 children saying the Pledge of Allegiance.
at least at WrestleMania.
At least. Or he has Morgan Freeman reading the Declaration of Independence.
That he's just stolen.
He just has it rolled up in his back pocket?
Yep.
Oh, dear Lord.
Oh. You know I have that album, right?
Yeah. I do.
We should listen to that album.
We really shouldn't.
We should just...
You still have that, that CD that Billy Dee Williams came out with, don't you?
Yeah, I do. Billy Dee Williams, Let's Misbehave.
Oh, dear God, you know the title of it.
Of course I know the title of it.
Did you listen to it?
Absolutely. It's Billy Dee Williams crooning.
How smooth does this sound?
It's so good. I mean, it's, you know, actually it's pretty poor transition because it was an album, you know. Right. And there's, you know, only a few compressed copies. Yeah, there's no, like, digital remastering.
God, I should get my uncle to do that. He does that, and it actually turns out really good.
He can, like, he can remaster it?
Mm-hmm. That's how I got the Star Wars records.
Right on.
He remastered them and gave them to me.
All right. Rock on. So.
So we talked about our dietary plans.
Yeah.
Now we talked about records and Billy Dee Williams.
Yeah.
I feel like this is a good all-around show.
I think we've filled up enough time. I think we can go into plugs and
close the time killing episode.
Our time is up.
Oh,
your time is now.
Oh dear Lord, you better start the plugs now before
you
I make
see me. My time is now.
You better do this before this becomes a non-PG show.
It's the franchise boy. If you want to follow us on Twitter now, at CR Attire now. Wow. In case you fell off or just forgot, we're on Twitter every Monday.
Oh, dear Lord, you're going to throw off my script. What's my line? Okay, if you have any questions, comments, anything you want on the mail sex segment, send it to our email. That's classyringattire@gmail.com. Go there now.
We also are on iTunes, Classy Ring Attire. You can look us up there. You can subscribe. You get new episodes straight to your computer every week. You give us a rating. You give us a review. It could be
5 stars.
Which would be awesome.
Oh, yeah. If you're listening to us on wrestling.insidepulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you. We might even throw it into the mail sex segment. Might.
Finally. We gotta mention Moonbear again.
We have to. We hit a really good milestone this week.
Yes,
like
we did.
Yesterday.
Yeah.
Actually.
We have broken 2,000 others. We are fast on our way to making it.
We are currently at 2,110 as of Tuesday night.
It is.
We have 18 days to go, and we're getting closer.
It's fantastic.
We have to get to 3,500.
We're so excited, and if anything. Anything you could donate, even if you can just get this out to everybody you know,
yes,
be fantastic. We'll throw a link in the show notes.
Absolutely.
We have had 40 backers so far, so it's clearly the cool kids thing to do.
Absolutely.
If you need that peer pressure.
And, you know, this past week I did have a couple people that came up to me, had some questions. I hope I answered them. We do have a video that our friend Scott did put together where you try to answer some questions. If you have any other questions, by all means, contact us.
Absolutely.
And we will try to get back to you or at least find an answer for you.
Yeah. All right. Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.